Good to have all of you here this morning. The crowd's quite a bit bigger than it was last week. And although I think the weatherman still missed it, didn't he? I thought it was supposed to be sunny today. Am I the only one heard that? Or I don't know what happened, but no sun. Actually, there was a few snow flurries early this morning, but it's not the best of days, and especially with all the goings on that we have today. We're glad everybody's here today, especially those that are visiting with us, and hope that that this will be a blessing to you to come out and worship with God's people today and to study together. As you can see on the board this morning, the title is going to be, "Shall I Go Out to Battle?" And I asked Greg to read those three verses that he did read for the Bible reading this morning out of the 19th chapter of Judges. And the three whole last chapters of book of Judges deals with facts that surround what we're going to be talking about this morning about going out to battle. And, of course, this is in the form of a question. And in Judges chapter 20, which Greg did not read this morning, that I kind of saved for myself on that one. In Judges chapter 20 and verse 28, here's what we read. "And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days," that is the Ark of the Covenant, "and saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand." Now, that may not mean very much to any of us, and we may be thinking to ourselves, why are we picking some subject out of the Old Testament that's 3,500 years old? And what's that got to do with the church at Mount Zion in 2013? What good is it to study something like this? And the reason that I think that this is a subject that needs to be studied is surrounds the title of this morning, "Shall I Go Out to Battle?" Shall I go out to battle? That's the question that's been asked today. And there's so many things in our society today that many of us as Christians feel like that we're just putting up with. Maybe it's because when you get older, it gets on your nerves. Those of you that are in our audience this morning, have you noticed that there are things now that you've gotten older? Now, if you're not old, don't answer this question. Just old. If you notice that as you got older, that things get on your nerves more than they used to, it might be that kids get on your nerves worse now than they used to. It might be that grandkids do. It happens around my house, I'll just be honest with you. But there are other things that get on my nerves worse now than used to. But what I want us to concern ourselves this morning is the sins that are going on in the world today, and some of them are blatant sins, not only do they get on their nerves, but they're against God's will. There's a song that you've been trying to learn on Sunday night. Ryan has led this song 3 or 4 different times, I think Greg has. And the name of this song, we haven't totally learned it yet, the name of this song is "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." And if you read over in 2 Chronicles, you find there a scripture that says the battle belongs to the Lord. So I'm asking the question this morning, shall we go out to battle? We seem to think as Christians that all the things that are going on in the world today, it's up to us and nobody else to battle. The things that are going wrong, it's up to us to battle. And I'm going to remind you this morning that the battle belongs to the Lord. It's His battle. And I want you to notice those few verses that we've used already this morning, taken from those last three chapters of the book of Judges. And we'll certainly not be able to do it justice this morning for a lack of time. But what I want us to notice is that the question was asked, shall we again go out to battle?
It's like asking God, "If God, is this really what you want us to do?" And I wonder today if we don't have the same questions. It don't make any difference what age we are. If we're older, we may be aggravated, we may be put out with it, we may be losing patience with it, but there's a question there. Is this really what you want us to do? Let me tell you what happened in this case right here, and I'll try to make this story as short as possible to save time this morning. There was a man of God who was traveling from one city to another and had his wife with him. And he stops to stay all night. Really, they didn't have one of them fixes and everything. He stops to stay all night with somebody. And while he was in this man's house, as Greg read to us this morning, the men of that city, some of them, not all of them, but some of the men came to that city, come beat on the door and say, "Hey, you got a guy here that's a stranger and we want him." We ask the question among ourselves if we're naive or what they want with him. I think what they wanted with him, they wanted to have sex with him. And did you see the words that God used in the Bible to describe how God feels about this? He used the word vile. That's about as low down as you get. Now, every place where it's described as abominable. That's about as low as you can get. And there's other words in there that God uses. He reserves the very worst words that there are for this kind of an act. And you saw what the host said. He said, "No, don't do this. This is wrong. God don't want us to do things like that." And they said, "Bring him out." He said, "No, no, God is going to do that." And of course, the scripture goes on. Ultimately, what happens is, if you go ahead and read all this context, the whole three chapters, you can do that sometime when you get a chance. It's interesting reading, and you'll find out how God feels about homosexuality. And so what happens is God sets his 11 tribes in array against the one tribe, because not only did they ignore it, some participated in it, and some condoned it. God said, "I do not want this in Israel, and I want to stamp that. You do what you've got to do in order to stamp it out." And so the 11 tribes go against the one tribe. They come out to battle. 22,000 get killed. They come back in, licking their wounds, and they call the prophet up, and they say, or the high priest, and they say, "What's wrong here? God, did we do what you told us to do?" And God said, "Yeah." "Well, then what's wrong? I thought if we did what you're supposed to do, everything's going to be all right." What makes us think that? Because we've got that going on in our society today. And Christians are asking themselves, how come we ain't winning? How come it looks to me like we're losing ground on this issue? And I'm telling you, we've been losing ground. If you ain't had any eyes open, you better open them. We're losing ground. God said, and so they asked the question, "Do you want us to go back out to battle? Do you want us to do this again?" God said, "Yes, go back out to battle." So they go to battle again. Guess what happens? Victory? No. They lose 18 more thousand people. 22,000, 18,000, that's 40,000 a lot. They come back, limping back in, licking their wounds. They go to the man of God. The man of God looks, he goes to God, and he don't know what's going on. And he said, "God, why are you causing us to lose? If you want us to fight this thing, then give us a victory." And so he asked the question again. He said, "Do you really want us to go out the back? Are you really against this so bad that it's worth human lives?" And God said, "Go back out to battle. Go the third time, and at this time I'm going to give you victory." And so, if you go back and read the story, you can see where God gave them victory on this occasion. And so we're asking ourselves that same question today. Why don't we just shut our doors, pull down the blinds, let the world do what they want to do? Why go out the back? Why preach on it? Why bother with it? I know it's a problem in our society, but why preach on it? My friend, I am here to tell you this morning that I've got fellow preachers that won't preach on it. They don't want to mess with it. It's a no-no in our society. It ain't politically correct to preach on it. And a lot of people just leave it alone. I'm going to preach on it. They can't get hold out there because that's the Bible maintains. And so that brought up some questions to me. put them up here on the board. Because this is what I see happening sometimes in the church today. I have several meetings over the summer. Many of you were there. Different places over in Jefferson County, Grayson County, Butler County. And I noticed this. This is one of the things that I don't know. Apparently, I both noticed this thing. That a lot of times what happens is that older members are passing on. Went to one church, and since the last time I helped a meeting there, they were about half as big as they used to be. One of the reasons was is because the older members are passing on. They got to have beer about that. Now, I looked at a tape that Ryan or Greg, one of those, gave me from the from when we had 150th anniversary. Everybody remember that? I got your attention, right? You remember that? 150th anniversary. And I counted 39 people walking around, shaking hands, laughing, and everything that are not with us. 39. Just me and what is that? 12 years? Or something like that? That happened a little bit. My numbers is not too good this morning. But that's something like that. And I thought, man. And you know, other places where I've been preaching, the same things happen that older members are facing along. Happens to us all the time. Now, if we don't replace those older members, what's going to happen to the church? Well, church is going to go down in Titus. But it's not just older people passing away, because other things happen as well. That second one right there ought to be younger instead of older. Older members are passing away, younger members are moving on. One of the churches where I preached this past summer in Edmonton County, I noticed that it was about half as big as it used to be where I was preaching. That's all I think it was for. And I said, you didn't have this many people die. Where's everybody going? They said, well, our younger people ain't here no more. They moved on. I said, where are they going? They said, well, they're going to Mount Pleasant. And they're going to Greenwood Park. And they're going to Allington. And they're going to Lehman Avenue. That's where they're going. They moved on. Members here downtown, we better be glad and we better thank and we better pat our young people on the back here. Everybody's not like Mount Zion. Mount Zion is growing. I wish it could grow more than what it's doing, but a lot of places their younger members are moving on. Older people are passing on, their younger members are moving on. And the third thing I got, and this happens everywhere, it ain't just Mount Zion. But it's these other places that I'm talking about is you got weaker members that are just hanging on. They go to church, but that's about it. They're really not showing Christ in their life the way that they ought to. And that's one of the things about preaching is encourage people to strengthen themselves for the battle. Don't go in the house and pull the window shades down and say, ain't nothing we can do about it. That's just one of these things that we've got in our society. And I'm going to mention some of these things that we've got in just a few minutes. But we've just got weaker members that are hanging on. We've got to fight. You can't fight a battle with weak people. You've got to have strong people to do the fight. Number four that I put up here on the script on the screen is you have to have stronger members that oppress them. The ones that oppress the battle. Remember what was said, and he said, Lord, do you want us to go keep going? Like God said, yes! I want you. That's what the Apostle Paul said about himself. He said, I press on. Out of all the things that Paul had reason to give up and quit and go home and shut the door and pull the blinds down, he never did do it. He always pressed on. He kept working. He kept pushing. And you got that about it where you go to. It's not just Mount Zion. It's your stronger rivers are the ones that push on. We need strong rivers here at Mount Zion. We need more strong rivers here at Mount Zion so we can press on. And then number five that I put outside is what was the reasons for this is because you got outsiders that are looking on. People are watching. If you don't think, being a member of the church here in Mount Zion, that people are watching us, you better look again. Yes, they are. People are watching what we do. If we don't take a stand on morality, people know that. If we do take a stand on morality, they know that. We have visitors that come here to see what we're doing. What's the church of Mount Zion doing? Are they doing the things that God would want them to have? But there are a lot of people that have never set foot inside those double doors back there. But they're still watching. They're watching what's going on this minute. And so you've got an element of people, outsiders, that are looking on. Now what have we got? We got older people passing on. We got younger members moving on. Weaker members that are hanging on. Stronger members that are pressing on. And outsiders that are looking on. And then we got another group of people. And you got the wicked are pushing on. The wicked pushing on. Well, that's the kind of people that try to beat the door down. That's very red about this morning. Come beat the door. Hold the door out there. Give us that man. We want that man out here. Never mind what he wants. Wait, you send him out here because they're pushing, pushing. Here's the way the world's working today. Pushing, pushing, pushing. I was watching TV the other day, and I noticed, now here's the picture. It's not that we've got all that many people that are atheists, that are proclaimed atheists, but we've got 14% of our American people, 305 million of us people here, 14% of us have no religious affiliation whatsoever. They can care less. If somebody beats the door down and drags them out against their will, they don't care to go in the house and the door pull the blinds down, they ain't my problem. That's the world. Man, that's a wicked world that it is. I wonder how many of you saw this week. Blinked in Oklahoma City at the State House in Oklahoma City. There's a sign there that's got all the Ten Commandments on the sign. Anybody see this? Been there for a long time. And there is a small, small element of people that don't like that. And they can't get the sign removed. And so there's another church, which is called the Church of Satan. And they're going to put up one there and anything in the world with the people there sitting there. At the State House in Oklahoma City, you do that. And you know where they're going to put their sign? Where? Right beside the one that's already there with the Ten Commandments. Right beside it. Can't put it nowhere else. It's got to be right there. And of course, they got their own buildings. Commitment. Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. But they don't have rules like that. Their rules is more like, what are you going to do? And they're going to put it right beside them. And it's the devil's doing, they're doing it. Shall we go out to battle? Shall we mention it? Shall we just let it go and say, that's Oklahoma City's problem? What should we do? Well, it ain't our battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Lord says, go up against it. What I'm doing this morning, go up against it. I hope that's what you do in your daily lives. You go up against it. What God said to you. If somebody's got more recent figures on this than I have, I hope you'll tell me. Last count I have, we've got 11 states that have outlawed gay marriage. 11 states. We've got 13 states that have okayed gay marriage. Marriage between two women, marriage between two men. You don't mind that. What should we do? Well, some say, go home, shut the door, pull the blinds down, ain't our problem. God, what do you want us to do at your battle? And I know the answer. Shall I go out to battle? And God said, go up against it, I'll give you victory. Don't mean she's not going to lose some people. Don't mean that there's not going to be a cost. Don't mean that it's going to be easy. Don't mean that it's going to be free. Don't mean that there's not some questions going to be asked. Lord, is this sure you what we want? And God trying to give the answer just like he gave it in those days. He's going to say, walk against it, I'll give you the victory. That victory ain't going to come in my lifetime. I don't know if it'll come, young people, I don't know if it'll come in yours, but we're obligated to fight. Let me give you a few more that we've been battling. We've been battling a Supreme Court decision since 1973 that's called Roe versus Wade. You know what Roe versus Wade is? It means you can kill a baby before it's born. That's what you want to do. And since then, since Roe versus Wade went into effect in 1973, we have killed
10,400,000,000 of them. Well, think about that, God. Well, I'm against killing babies. If you ask God what he thinks about killing babies, he's going to be against that, and he's going to say, fight it. Go out to battle. And you know, the list just goes on and on. It's almost appalling to even see what some of the list of these people is, because we see it over and over. God's been against profanity since day one. He said, don't take my name in vain. People do it anyway. God, how do you feel about that in 2013? Do you want us to still fight profanity? Yes, go up against it. I'll give you the victory. When I was a little boy going to school, you could pray in school and you could read the Bible in school and you could talk about things like that in school. Can't do that anymore. Last year we made up baskets and sent to the school, fruit baskets for the unfortunate, for the poor people. And we put a little New Testament in that basket. And the New Testament is God's Word, and we were told, hey, you can't put that in there. This is Warren County school system, and you can't put God's Word in those baskets. You can't do that. What do you think about that, God? Shall I go up against it? Yes, go up against it. I'll give you the victory. It may not be tomorrow or the next day, but God's going to win that battle. He's going to win it through us. God doesn't wear the armor. God's the general. We got to keep fighting him. At this time of year, every year, has been for several years now, there's going to be a certain element of people in our society that says, can't have no Christmas decorations. Can't put up a Christmas tree. And if you put one up, you can't call it a Christmas tree. You need to call it a holiday tree. That word Christmas is a bad word. It's a profane word. You can't do that. And so we've got an element of people that says we don't want that in our society. Now, they're a small minority element, but boy, they are a strong group of people. They get a lot done. And all of these things about where we continue to lose our rights as people, God, what do you think about that? What would you do? What should we do? Shall we go out to battle or just go home, shut the doors, and pull the blinds down? I know what God's answer is because he says it over and over. Go up against it. I'll give you victory. It may cost you something, but I'll give you victory. And the list goes on and on and on. One nation under God. That's under attack right now because there's one element of people that don't want any more prayer in the Senate. When the Senate opens their meeting, they open with a prayer. They don't want that anymore. God, what do you think about that? Go up against it. That's what you do. And I'll give you victory. And what we've got in our society today, profanity, nudity, violence, songs, movies. You can't even watch the news today because it ain't fit to watch. It's that nasty. Just watch ABC Channel 13 in the morning and I'll tell you it's nasty. I don't even know if we want our kids even watching that kind of thing. Isn't that something? What do you think about it, God? Go up against it. I'll give you victory. That's the answer to it. So we're never to get too tired, and we're never to get to the point in our lives where we no longer care. We sell everything on television, every product that we want to sell with sex. We sell beer, we sell cars, we sell toothpaste, we sell pizza, and we sell hamburgers by sex. Can't even advertise a product anymore. I don't know what's the matter with people. I guess I'm getting old and cranky. It aggravates me. I don't like it. And I'm going to speak out against it because it's God's battle, ain't mine. Go up against it. Shall we go up to battle or shall we cease? Now, that was the question that religious man asked God. He said, God, what do you want us to do? And God's answer come back the third time. And he said, go up against it. I will give you victory. Well, sometimes victory doesn't look like it's coming. And sometimes people in our society today don't think that it's coming. If you got faith in God, if you believe in God, and if you work at it, it'll come. There's a lot of things in our society today we ought not to be satisfied with. We ought not to go home, shut the doors, and pull the blinds down. We go out to battle, and we keep battling. And we battle till the day we die. Might get killed in battle, but it's God's battle. And it'll be God that gives the victory. might be somebody in our audience today, that these little points that we've made here on the boards made an impression on you. Older members are passing on. Younger members are moving on. Weaker members are hanging on. Stronger members are pressing on. Outsiders are looking on. And the wicked's pushing on. It's that last one that I want you to remember. The wicked ain't going to give up. And we better not either, because when we do, we lose the battle. And it's God's battle. How awful to lose God's battle. Are you here this morning outside of Christ? Is there something that we can do in order to help you? While we stand, Steve, and while we sing.